Welcome to the Northwood Baptist Church podcast. I'm Tommy Metter, lead pastor at Northwood, right here in North Charleston, South Carolina. And I am so thankful that you are taking the time today to listen to this message. And I do hope and pray that what you are about to hear encourages you, blesses you, helps you to understand the Word of God better, and most importantly, reminds you of how much the God of all creation loves you. I think today's message is going to be a blessing to you. So thank you for listening. And if you're in the North Charleston area, we would love to have you on our campus any Sunday morning at either 9:30 or 11 o'clock. If you're not in the North Charleston area, you can always find us on the web, northwoodbaptist.com. You can visit our YouTube page. You can visit our Facebook page. You can live stream us every Sunday morning at 9:30 or 11. We would love for you to be our guest, either on campus or online. So you're welcome to join us anytime you'd like. We'd love to have you. I do hope that today's message is a blessing and encouragement to you, and I hope that today's message helps you connect faith to life. All right, go and take your Bibles and turn back to the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 14 this morning, and we're going to be very, very ambitious this morning. We're going to look at the entire chapter of Luke 14. I know, right? Buckle up. It's going to get wild. So Luke 14 is where we are this morning. We've been in Luke's Gospel since December of last year, and we're just slowly making our way through the Gospel. And if we don't pick up the pace just a little bit, we'll be here for the next 7 years. And so I figured, hey, let's just tackle a whole chapter this morning. So here we go. This is going to be fun. So we're going to start in just a moment by reading verses 15 through 23. And so go ahead and find that in your copy of the Bible. If you're new with us at Northwood, we like to take books like the Gospel of Luke and just walk straight through them because we believe that God speaks to us through his word. And so we're in Luke 14 this morning. We're going to read together in a moment, verses 15 through 23. If you're new to the Bible, the Gospel of Luke is just really easy to find. If you can find the New Testament, you can find Luke's Gospel because Luke's Gospel is the third book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are our four Gospels, and Luke is the third Gospel. If you did not bring a Bible with you, we've got one for you. Down in the seat before you in the book rack, you'll find a copy of God's Word. Pick that Bible up and find Luke 14 with us. If you do not own a Bible, please take that Bible home with you. Read it and learn about the God that loves you and desires a relationship with you. Luke 14, 15 through 23 is where we are this morning. So, you know, you've been a part of our church for some time, most of you, and you know we lost one of our members a few months ago. You know that Don DeCoston was a member here at Northwood, president at CSU. He went on to be the president of another university. And man, I miss him. He was a dear friend and still is. And we text back and forth still on a semi-regular basis. I try to check in on him. He tries to check in on us every now and then. But I remember that last Sunday he was here. He gave me a gift because of a mutual love for Chick-fil-A. And I was very thankful for the big cow he gave me. But hey, I've missed the man. And if you're a CSU student or faculty member, you probably miss him a little bit too. And so a few weeks ago, I got something in the mail. Look at what I got in the mail. I got an invitation to the inauguration service for the president of Liberty University. Isn't that impressive, right? Like, okay, here's the deal. Listen. I don't get invited to fancy parties. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm just gonna be honest with you. When I received that invitation in the mail, man, some pride swelled up within me, right? Like, I've made it. Like, finally, after so many years of working hard, I'm finally somebody, right? Like, I've got an invitation to the inauguration celebration at Liberty University, the largest Christian university in the world. That's like a big deal. I can't go, but, I mean, I got the invitation. I'm going to frame that bad boy, right? I mean, it's going to be right next to our wedding photo in the house. It's going to be great. I mean, I was really, you know, just humbled to get the invitation. And I tell you that because I bet you in this room over the years, you've gotten some invitations to some events or parties. Maybe you're like me and you got an invitation to go somewhere you never thought you'd get an invitation to, or maybe it was something else. You got an invitation to a wedding or an anniversary celebration, a surprise birthday party. We have all received invitations to attend some kind of celebration. And we like it. We like it when we get invited to a celebration because a celebration, you know how it works. For those few hours you're at a celebration, whether it's a birthday party, a wedding, for a few hours, you get to put aside normal life and you get to celebrate. And it's fun because at a good celebration, there's fellowship. There's joy. We like a good celebration and we need good celebrations. And here you are on this Sunday morning. And I just want to remind you from the text we're looking at this morning, God has invited you to the celebration of all celebrations. It's so good. When you think about the God of all creation and how he loves us and gave his son Jesus for us, he has invited us to the greatest celebration that human history has ever known, a celebration with him for all of eternity. And so I want to look at a text this morning, and I want to encourage you this morning to embrace the invitation. And I want to show you what it means to embrace the invitation. Because I know in a room like this, many of us have embraced the invitation that God has given us, inviting us into a relationship with him, an eternal relationship. Many of us have embraced that. Some of us have not. And now watch this. For those of us who have embraced the invitation, we don't often live like we've embraced the invitation. And so what does it look like to live like we've embraced the invitation to be with him forever? This is an encouraging passage of scripture this morning. I think it's going to give you much hope as we walk through this text, Luke 14, 15 through 23. What I want to show you from this passage are just two truths that I think are going to help you to embrace the greatest invitation ever given. Take your Bibles, Luke 14, 15 through 23. When you find that passage, go ahead and rise to your feet as we honor the reading of God's word together. Beginning in verse 15, this is what the Bible says. When one of those who reclined at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus told him, "A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent the servant to tell those who were invited, 'Come, because everything is now ready.' But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come.' So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind and lame.' 'Master,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done and there's still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have extended an invitation to us to be in a relationship with you, to join in a celebration that will last for all of eternity because of what your son Jesus has done for us. And Father, help us to be a people this morning who want to live like we have received the greatest invitation ever. So Father, what we know now is that you're gonna speak to us. When we open up your word together, your spirit speaks to us through your word. And so as we listen to your word together this morning, as we study your word, as you speak to us, help us be a people who listen carefully to what you are saying to us, to be a people who respond to you in faith and surrender, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Now, this is a great parable, but let's set the stage as to why Jesus told this parable. And so Jesus, before he tells this parable, he's at a party. And the party he is attending, it's the party that's not really a party. Let me explain what I mean. Go back and look with me, if you will, chapter 14, verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they were watching him closely. So again, this is not uncommon as we walk through Luke's gospel. We've seen it over and over again that Jesus likes to eat with people. And not only does Jesus like to eat with people, he likes to eat with all kinds of people. Pharisees, tax collectors, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the kind of person who liked to eat with people and share a meal and also share his love. And so here he is sitting at the table of a leading Pharisee. Why this Pharisee is a leading Pharisee, we don't know. We don't know his name. We don't have any details other than he's a big deal. And what gospel writer Luke tells us is that this leading Pharisee and the others who are there at this party that's not really a party, what they're doing is they're watching Jesus closely. They want to, and you know this, they want to trap him because they don't like it. I mean, we've seen it already as we walk through the last few chapters together. Jesus has called these Pharisees out over and over again. He's called them hypocrites. He's called them a bunch of whitewashed tombs. I mean, he's spoken some harsh words to the Pharisees who have rejected Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. And so they're watching him. And Jesus does something that Jesus often does. He performs a miracle, and he performs a miracle on the Sabbath. Now, he's done this before too, but come on, catch up with me in the story. Here's what happens. There's this man who's there, and he's got some kind of disease that causes his body to be swollen, and Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. I think one of the reasons why Jesus heals so often on the Sabbath day is just a reminder to everybody that real rest is found in him and not a day of the week. And so Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath, and then he looks at the Pharisees and say, hey, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this is a bad thing because I healed him on the Sabbath, but you would get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. You would help your son on the Sabbath. So what you think about this? And what it says in the text is that when Jesus performed this miracle of healing a man on the Sabbath, they were silent. They didn't have anything to say. And you can understand that in that moment after Jesus performs this miracle, I mean, the anger is just swelling up on the inside. And then Jesus begins to look around the room. It's a party that's not a party, because when Jesus looks around the room, he sees things that for him are quite unsettling. I don't know if you know this or not, but in that ancient culture, when you went to a house party, you went to the party of a Pharisee or whomever it might have been, the most common way you would sit at one of these parties was around a U-shaped table. We call it a triclinium. And so they would sit around this U-shaped table, and the most important seat at the table was the seat for the host. Whoever was hosting the party, they obviously had the most important seat. And the second most important seat was the seat right beside the host. And so what Jesus sees at this party is everybody wants to be where? In that second seat. It's a big deal. And so he sees it. He sees all the Pharisees and all the religious leaders jockeying for position in this house. And look at what Jesus says. I mean, he looks at this scenario and he says this. Verse 8, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't sit in the place of honor, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both you may come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in humiliation, you'll proceed to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, we're going to come back to this statement that Jesus makes a little bit later. But just from the outset, I mean, it just sounds like good advice, right? Like, and man, don't jockey for that second seat next to the host. Instead, go sit at the lowest seat. That way, you know, if someone more important than you walks in, he doesn't have to move you down. Instead, he can move you up. That's kind of what you want. It's not really wise to sit in that highest seat. Just wait. Go sit in that low seat. Let the host move you up. But he's speaking to a people that are really concerned about their social status. And then Jesus looks around the room, and it's not really a party. Because when Jesus looks around the room, again, he sees people that are jockeying for position. You follow? But not only does he see people jockeying for position, he sees people are missing. Look at what it says. You come down in verse 12. He also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you will be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame or blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And so now it's like Jesus is saying to the host of this party and to those who could hear, listen, you want a real party? A real party isn't inviting your friends over who are jockeying for the second seat. A real party is inviting people over who've got nothing, who can't repay you. That's a bold kind of party. That's the kind of party you should have. Instead of inviting your friends over who are just trying to sit next to you, why don't you invite people who don't deserve a seat at the table? Why don't you bless people who can't be here? And then Jesus begins to tell a story, because someone says in the crowd of people at that party, oh, blessed is going to be that day when we eat bread of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus begins to tell a parable. Now, you know what a parable is. We've seen some parables already in Luke's gospel. And as we move forward in Luke's gospel over the next few weeks, we're going to see even more parables. Parables are simply stories that Jesus told. They're made up stories that say something spiritually, have a spiritual point. Now, you know this, that in those days when Jesus told these parables, a lot of people didn't get them. They didn't understand the point. But Jesus tells these stories to prove a spiritual point. And this story that Jesus tells at this feast where he is located with the Pharisee and others, it's a powerful story because he tells the story of a party. He says, there's a man who was throwing a feast and he sends out invitations. Now, I need you to understand this. In those days, when you threw a big party, you would send out two invitations because you didn't exactly know the day it was going to be. Because in those days, it took a lot of effort to plan a party. Because oftentimes in those days, a party would last several days sometimes, or if it was a wedding feast, it could last a week or more. And so you would send out the first invitation. There wasn't, you know, email or text messaging or anything like that. So your servant would go out and he would go find the people that you wanted to invite. And he would say, hey, in a few months, get ready. There's gonna be a big party. And I just want you to clear your calendar for all of July. Right? And well, I'll come back and let you know exactly when, but just go ahead and clear your calendar because we're going to come back and we're going to have this big party. So that's invitation number one. And so when July came and the master knew the exact day, like he's gotten the fattened calf ready and he's got everything ready, it's time to party. Then he would send that servant back out again. Go get him. It's time. Go tell him to come home. And so Jesus tells a story about a servant going out with that second invitation. It's time. Come to the party. But in this story that Jesus tells, it's a parable, remember. It's a story that Jesus made up to prove a spiritual point. He sends this servant out, the master does, to bring the guest in. But look what happens. Come down, let me show you. Everybody still with me? You're awake? Look what happens. You come down to verse 18. But without exception, they all began to make what, church? Excuses. They don't want to go to the party. You can imagine this master has spent a small fortune preparing for this feast. He's looked forward to it for months. He's already invited the guest. But now when it's time to go get the guest, they don't want to come. They begin to make excuses and look what it says. I mean, if you think about it, these excuses are pretty lame excuses. For example, look at what it says, verse 18. But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. I don't know how many of you bought some real estate recently, but here's the deal. When you buy a piece of real estate, usually what you do before you buy it is you check it out. This guy says, wait, I just bought a field and I gotta go check it out. That's not a very good excuse. Or think about the next one. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Now, I don't think very many of us have bought oxen recently. If you have, I'd like to see them. That'd be really cool. But I don't think many of us have. But I bet you that in this room, many of us have bought a used car before. Some of us because we can't afford a new car, right? I mean, and I'm with you on that. But so we bought a used car. And usually, I mean, I know you go to Carvana now and you can have that thing delivered to your front door. But back in the old days, and this is how it worked, you would actually go see that car and take it for a test drive. You might even take it down to your local mechanic and have them check it out before you bought the thing, right? But what you didn't do is you didn't buy the car sight unseen. You made sure it ran before you bought it. Now you got a guy that says, hey, I've bought some oxen. I got to go take them for a test drive, right? I mean, that's not the way it works. And so it's just another lame excuse. I like this one, verse 20. Another said, I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come. Marriage is an excuse that can get you out of all kinds of things, right? Okay, bad joke. Here we go. So you've got these excuses. That's the point. And so the servant comes back to the master and says, listen, I went to go get them. I know you invite them, but let me give you the reasons that they gave me for why they cannot come. They gave excuses. And all those excuses, they're pretty lame. And so the master, as Jesus tells the story, the master is angry. He says, okay, they're not coming. Listen, I'm not gonna have a party without guests. So go. Go get the poor, go get the lame, go get the maimed and bring them in. And the master's servant does just that. And when the master's servant does that, he comes back to the master. Hey, I went out and I got all these guests, but there's still room. And then he says, well, go out to the highways and hedges, fill this place up. And now obviously this story is pointing to a future reality. In the context of the days of Jesus, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders who've rejected the invitation. You follow, don't you? But he's saying, listen, although you've rejected the invitation, I'm gonna tell you, my Father is gonna have a party. And when we are at that party, it's not gonna be an empty room. There's going to be people there, and that's the fact, because there's going to come a day that you and I are going to be around the throne of God. And when we are around the throne of God, do you know what you're going to see? Lots and lots and lots of people who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because the party, the eternal party that the God of all creation is going to have for his people, it's not going to be an empty party. Sure, there are going to be people who've rejected the invitation, and there are going to be people who give excuses for why they did not embrace the invitation. But the God of all creation, he is going to bring people into his eternal family. Blind, poor, lame, from the highways and the hedges, he's going to bring them into his family. You're following me. You're still with me, right? Now, I need to pause for just a moment and explain something to you. That when Jesus is telling parables, he's telling parables that give us realities, spiritual realities about the kingdom of God. You know this, that when we walk through the Gospels together, we see Jesus talk quite a bit about the kingdom of God. Now, I know you probably know this, but let me review this for you. When we think about the kingdom of God is what, church? It is now and not yet. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Like the day you gave your life to Jesus, you became a citizen of the kingdom of God. You put yourself under his rule. Your allegiance is to him. And so right now, you are a part of the kingdom of God. But there's going to be a future day. You know this too, that Christ is going to return. He's going to gather his children together, and we are going to live with him forever in the eternal kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is a present reality. You and I live in it right now as children of God, and it's also a future reality when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on this earth once and for all. Now, why do I tell you that? This is why. Come on, this is so good. What is Jesus inviting you to? A celebration, a party. That's the invitation. So here's the question though. When does the celebration begin, church? Right now. You follow me? And I know this, we don't live like we believe that half the time, but the celebration, it's already begun. Because right now you're in the kingdom. Right now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've accepted the invitation to the king's party. You are already in the celebration. Do you follow me? You see what I'm saying? Because the kingdom of God is now. But yet, we're not much different than these people. That even as followers of Jesus, we give excuses for why we can't be a part of the celebration that's happening right now and that we know is also coming in the future. Now, you know this because I've told you this a million times, that one of Stacy's favorite places to go is the Tanger Outlet. One of my least favorite places to go is the Tanger Outlet. I did not know this until yesterday, but this changes everything. You ready? Did you know that this is a somewhat common occurrence at the Tanger Outlet? I know, I didn't know either, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad that gators have been spotted at the Tanger Outlet, because the next time Stacy wants to go, do you want to get eaten by a gator? Right? Like, I've got my excuse. We don't ever have to go back. And you know that's not true. I can give her the excuse of, well, there's gators there, we can't go. And that excuse just is not going to hold water, because if she wants to shop, we're going to the Tanger Outlet. You see what I'm saying? And that's kind of what we do in life. We give all kinds of excuses for all kinds of things. And that's a pretty lame excuse. Now, I tell you that just to point you to this reality. I think what we're seeing in the text at this point, going to the next slide, if you don't mind, this truth that I want you to understand, all your excuses for not pursuing what Jesus has for you are lame. But that's true, isn't it? Because right now in this moment, if you are a follower of Jesus today, God has called you to celebrate the work that he has done in your life and celebrate, listen, and celebrate with his people. You know this, don't you? Like, here we are in this room this morning, and we've already celebrated. We've celebrated baptism. We've celebrated through singing and lifting our voices to God. We're celebrating now, if you think about it, as we study the word together, that we gather, we call Sunday a day of celebration, celebrating the work of God. And when we gather like this, now watch this. When we gather like this as a faith family, this really is, in a lot of ways, what? A foretaste of the greater celebration that's to come. That when we're together as the body of Christ in this room or in other places where we're serving together, growing together, learning together, walking by faith together, it is always a celebration when we're with the people of God. Are you following me? That God has invited us into the kingdom to celebrate the work of his son. And what we tend to do is we give it lots of excuses for why we can't enjoy the celebration. And you know some of these, right? Some of, and I'm gonna start at the bottom one actually. You sometimes give the excuse for not embracing salvation as a gift, the excuse of you didn't know, understand the gospel. Listen, there's gonna come a day that we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're not gonna be able to say, well, I just didn't understand the work of Jesus Christ. Because in a church like this, you've heard it over and over again, right? And even if you hadn't heard the gospel, listen, you're a sinner who's rebelled against God, and what you deserve for your sins is eternal hell. That's the reality. And so you're not gonna be able to give an excuse if I didn't know, I didn't understand. No, no, you rebelled against God. And today, God is offering you an invitation to turn from your rebellion and enter into his kingdom by believing that Christ died and rose again for you. You know that, but think about this. This, and I know we talk about these things all the time, but I just want you to remind yourself of this again. Many of us give the excuse of we didn't have time. You didn't have time. There's a celebration that's going on in the body of Christ as we embrace the invitation to be in God's eternal family, but yet we'll give the excuse of, I didn't have time. I wanted to be a part of a life connection group. I wanted to be discipled. I wanted to serve on his, I wanted to do those things, but preacher, you just don't know how busy my life is. I just didn't have time to join in the celebration, to be a part of the work that God is doing among his people. That is a lame excuse, because what that excuse shows is not the fact that you're busy. It shows that you have misplaced your priorities, that you don't understand how great a celebration this celebration is. Or think about this, and the excuse of religion. And the reason why I bring that one up is because that's what Jesus has talked about so often now with the Pharisees. They missed the celebration because they were stuck in their religious ways. We're gonna figure this out on our own without the help of a Messiah. And that's what people in this world do. We're gonna get ourselves to heaven our own way instead of embracing this free gift of salvation. You know that, but let's move on to this one. And we talked about this before too, the excuse of church hurt. I get it. We've talked about this in great detail before, that we've all had experiences where someone in the church has hurt us. And for some, that caused us to step away from the church for long periods of time. And I get that. I don't minimize the significance of church hurt. I've been there myself. I understand that full well. But that's not an excuse to avoid the work that God wants to do among his people. And sometimes it's just, I gotta take a step of faith. Yes, I've been hurt in the past, but I'm jumping back in because I know that God is doing something among his people that's worth celebrating. And even when somebody hurts me, it's not gonna keep me away from what God wants to do in my life and the life of the body of Christ. Are you following me? Or think about this, the excuse of I like Jesus, but I don't like his church. Because let's be honest, there's some of us who just stay away from the people of God because we don't like the church. We don't like the preacher because he preaches too long, and I get that. That's a valid excuse, I understand, right? Maybe it's the preference of music, or you don't have anything for my kids that I like, or I just don't like those people because they're not like me. We give all kinds, but yeah, I like Jesus, so I'm gonna do this thing on my own without the church. But you know that's not the way that it works, that God has designed it in such a way that you always grow best in your walk with Jesus when you're engaged in the life of the church around people that love you and wanna help you. You see what I'm saying? All I'm telling you is that this morning in this text, Jesus tells a story where he's inviting us to join in a celebration. And I just want you to know that the nature of the kingdom of God is such as this. This celebration, it starts right now. And you enjoy that celebration as you engage your life in the body of Christ, celebrating what God has done in you and in the lives of others. We celebrate together. Are you following me? I've told you my story in the past. I remember when I was in college, and I've told you how that first semester when I was a freshman at Mercer University many years ago, how I made the decision in that first semester to join a fraternity. One of the worst decisions I could have made. I wanted friends. I wanted fellowship. And for whatever reason, I got in my head that I could find it there. And I found myself, right, compromising my faith. I found myself going to parties that I knew I wasn't gonna find what I was looking for there. I found myself going to bars and then being the DD to drive my drunk friends home. I mean, I thought I was gonna find fellowship and friendship, and honestly, it just didn't happen. Thankfully, after a semester of living that way, God woke me up and I got out of that thing and I got involved in a local church and got it a glorious work in my life in my college years. But I tell you that because I was thinking about that yesterday. 20-something years ago, I got involved in this fraternity thinking, man, that's where fellowship is. That's where the party is. That's where the celebration is. Hanging out with these guys, going to bars, going to parties, that's it. And then yesterday, I had a long day yesterday, a day full of ministry. So yesterday I woke up and we had, Stacy and I had several events yesterday we had to be at. We had three different events we had to be at yesterday. And so I took my oldest son, he was invited to a birthday party. We dropped him off there and he spent the day there. And we took our youngest son to a couple in our church that loves our kids and cares for them quite a bit. We took him to their house. And so Stacy went off to these three events. Now when I was 20 years old in college in a fraternity, I would never have thought at the age of 45, I would be going to a ladies' tea. But yesterday around noon, I found myself at a ladies' tea. But what had happened is that there in that group of ladies was a lady who's a member of our church, a very dear lady who we love dearly, who's not able to come anymore because of physical ailments. And so her life connection group took tea to her and food and all, and just had a time of fellowship with her. And so I went over there and because I hadn't seen her while myself. And so here I was, the only man at a ladies' tea. It was a lot of fun, right? And then after that, we left that and we went out to a wedding, way out in the backwoods of Monk's Corner, so far out there that I did not have cell phone service and I could not check the Georgia score, but that's another story for another day. But here we are, we were at this wedding celebration and there we were at this wedding celebration, right? Now watch. And what I got to witness there at that wedding celebration was a young couple committing to each other before God, a godly young couple that wants to live in marriage as God has designed it, putting Christ first. It was beautiful. And then we went straight from there back to here. We were here by 7 o'clock last night for a vow renewal ceremony that one of our couples in our church, they wanted to have, they invited all their friends to come to this vow renewal ceremony. They were celebrating their anniversary. And so here we were last night and I led in a vow renewal ceremony. We got home last night, I don't know, it was probably 9:30, 10 o'clock when we finally got home. And I was exhausted. I went to bed. As a 20-something year old student in college looking for fellowship and celebration, I would never have thought that I would find fellowship and celebration and joy in a ladies' tea. You follow me? I never would have thought I would have found real celebration at a vow renewal ceremony, a wedding. But all day long yesterday, you know where I was? I was around the people of God witnessing a work of God in their lives. My friend, that was a celebration. And listen, here's what I get, and here's what you get too. Every day of my life, I get to be a part of that kind of celebration. Yes, the church is full of imperfect people. Yes, the church will hurt you at times. I get all that kind of stuff. But my friend, it doesn't minimize the reality that God is at work in his people. God is at work in you. In me, and there's something to celebrate every time we come together. And so don't give excuses, because I'm telling you, my friend, all of your excuses for missing the celebration, all of your excuses, right? Like I didn't have time, or that church hurt me, or this person did this to me, and this happened. They're just lame excuses, because I'm telling you, there is a God who's bigger than you and greater than you and who knows more than you, who is really at work in the lives of people for his glory, and it is worth joining in the celebration. And for some of you in this room this morning as followers of Jesus, it is just a recommitment to the body of Christ. It's not done. Let's back up. Now, let's put in context what Jesus previously said. Let's hit the rewind button, because I want you to see something. Jesus says that at this celebration, there are many excuses. Go get the poor, the lame, the maimed, people from the highways and hedges. Do you know who the poor and blind and lame are? It's you, right? I mean, I don't want to insult you this morning, but it's true, it's me. Because that's who we were. We were poor spiritually, blind spiritually, lame spiritually. And somewhere along the way, we had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, here's what probably happened. Think through this with me. Come on, come on, wake back up. Come in real close. I know we got a lot to do still, but think with me. What probably happened in your life is someone, now I don't know who it was, it might have been your mama, your daddy, a coworker, a friend, someone who works out with you at gym, like we saw this morning in baptism, someone came along. And you know what they did? They stopped everything. You following? Yep. Someone came along and stopped everything. Hey, that person, they were busy. That person, they had stuff going on in their lives. That person, they had their own problems, their own issues. But someone stopped everything and came alongside of you and did what? Shared the gospel with you. Invested in you. And because of that investment, the Spirit of God used that, and what happened? Your eyes were open. And you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And you went from being poor, blind, lame, to someone who is sitting at the table with God, feasting with him for all of eternity. Your status changed because somebody invested in you. Now think about what Jesus said before he tells this parable. He said a couple things. One, when you go to a party, don't look for the best seat, right? Instead, find that low seat. Let the host exalt you. Don't exalt yourself. In other words, don't get involved in all that petty stuff. Trying to jockey for position because it's petty. And not only that, right? But when you have a party, don't do it to impress your friends. You don't need to impress anybody. Instead, when you celebrate, invite people who don't normally have the chance to celebrate, invite them to the celebration. Do you see the gospel implications? That, like, when you know who you were and you know how Jesus changed you, it makes such a difference in your life that what you want to do now, because you're a part of the celebration, you want others who are not experiencing the celebration to come in and experience the celebration. So now what do you do? Instead of thinking about getting ahead in life and how I can jockey for position, you think about what? How can I stop everything to bring others into the celebration? To give my life away for others instead of using this life to get what I want out of it. Because here's the deal, right? Now follow me, just follow closely. Jesus has shown us in this text that there's a celebration that we oftentimes give excuses for not attending. But on the flip side, if you've experienced this celebration, it should change the way that you show grace and love to other people. You're not pharisaical because the Pharisees could not have cared less about those who needed spiritual help. They cared about themselves. But when you've been changed by the gospel, you care less about yourself and more about the mission of God. You see what I'm saying? And so here's the deal. Here's what happens. Not only do we oftentimes give excuses for not being able to celebrate with the body of Christ, we also give excuses, don't we, for reasons why we cannot invite others to join in the celebration. And I just want to give you this reality, right? All your excuses for not extending grace to others, they really are petty. Because you'll use the same excuses, the excuses that you gave for why you cannot attend the celebration are the same excuses you'll give for why you cannot invite people to enjoy the celebration. I don't have time. My life's busy, preacher. I don't have time to invest in other people. Or I don't know how to do it. You didn't teach us. Or, I've got my own problems. You want me to invest in somebody else? I need somebody to invest in me. And we give all these excuses for why we cannot extend grace. And all those excuses are petty. Come on now. And what those excuses do, they reveal something about you, me. They reveal that our hearts are not much different than the Pharisees that Jesus is rebuking in this passage. That our excuses, what they often reveal, is that our hearts are stingy. Now, you don't want to think about yourself as a stingy person, but come on, let's be honest. I mean, oftentimes I am, oftentimes you are. Like, time, for example, you want me to invest my time in somebody else? Well, time belongs to me. I want to use my time for me, or resources, because sometimes investing in the life of somebody else, it might actually cost you some money. Like, that's for me. And you quickly forget that the reason why you're in the kingdom of God is because somebody was not stingy towards you. That somebody gave of themselves. They gave of their time and their resources so you could hear the gospel. You see what I'm saying? You get stingy, but you forget that somebody was not stingy when they invested in you, or judgmental. I can't share with those people. You see what they do? You see how they are? But listen, you were in a mess too. You were blind and you were lame, and someone could have very easily have looked at you and judged you, and maybe you were the object of judgment from other people. But somebody came along in your life and they didn't judge you. They were gracious. They saw a need in your life, a need for a savior, and they invested time in you and shared the gospel in you. In spite of your faults and in spite of your flaws, in spite of those things that everybody else was judging you for. Do you follow me? But see, this ungracious heart, it might also reveal that you think you're too important. I'm too important to give my time to helping people who are, you know, in need of grace. I'm too important to invest over here. And no, you're not. You are blind and lame. But Jesus came to you. And on that day that you came to faith in Christ, someone thought that you were important enough that they would share with you. And they humbled themselves by giving others. Do you see what I'm saying? That we oftentimes give all these petty excuses for why we can't get involved in the lives of others for the sake of the gospel. And those excuses, all they are is petty. And what those petty excuses really reveal is they really reveal that your heart, it might be very similar to the hearts of the Pharisees. Stingy, full of self-importance, right? And judgmental. And Jesus' rebuke is, listen, when you throw a party, when you have a real celebration, when you are celebrating the God of all creation and what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, it changes everything. Because that kind of party is the kind of party you want everybody to attend. And so you'll stop everything in your life to reach out and bring others to the party with you. Now look, I want to show you this and we're done. And then you come down and look what it says in verse 25. Now, you know these verses and you know these are difficult verses, but he says this. He turns now to a larger crowd. This is after the party. Now great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone come to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, in all honesty, when Jesus says these words, these are very similar to words that Jesus has already said back in Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. These are things that Jesus has already talked about. But think about these words in the context. God has offered us a great invitation to come and celebrate with him, to be a part of his kingdom. And that invitation is so great and so wonderful and leads to such a magnificent celebration that it's worth counting the cost for. It's worth giving things up for, even if that means you give up relationships. And Jesus has already talked about this. We looked at this several weeks ago. Even if that means you have to give up relationships that are hindering you from walking with Jesus. Jesus is not calling you to hate anybody. He's not calling you to hate your mama or your daddy or your brother or sister. But he's saying to us, your devotion to the King and Kings of Kings and Lord of Lords should be so great that your devotion to your own family pales in comparison to the devotion you have for the King. Why? Because the King has given his son for you and has invited you to a celebration that will be for all of eternity, a celebration of joy, a celebration of hope, a celebration of victory. And so you come and you enjoy that celebration. And the kingdom of God, it is now and not yet. You begin enjoying that celebration now. So here we are. Now really, as we end our time together, just wanna ask you a few questions. Here you are this morning in this room. And here's what I know, that in this room, there are some of us who've never once at all responded to the invitation. You've given excuses for why you can't begin a relationship with Jesus. None of those excuses are gonna hold up on judgment day. But today is the day. Like it could not be any clearer. You can't walk away saying this morning, I didn't understand the gospel, because I'm about to tell you that God is inviting you into a relationship with him if you'll turn from your sins and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only one who's ever lived on this earth perfect in every way. And he did that for you. And then he went to a cross for you and died the death that you deserve. You deserve punishment for all of your sins. But Jesus on the cross, he took the punishment upon himself that you deserve and died the death that you deserve. And 3 days later, rose from the dead victorious, paving the way for you to experience salvation, real salvation, eternal salvation, a celebration with him for all of eternity. As you look forward now to that day that he returns for you, he's invited you to be in his kingdom now. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, today is the day to come and give your life to him once and for all and join in the celebration now, the work that God wants to do in you and through you as you gather with the people of God and serve alongside of us in the corners of this room or two crosses. We're gonna sing a song of invitation. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, go to one of those crosses. We would love to help you today begin a relationship with Jesus. Now, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, you do it too. You give excuses. You give excuses for why you can't be a part of what God is doing in the life of the church, why you can't get into a discipleship group, why you can't do this, or why you can't do that. You give excuses too. I'm just telling you, as you give those excuses, what it's causing you to do is causing you to right now miss out on the celebration. Stop. And you also give excuses for why you can't extend grace to others. Stop. And maybe during this time of invitation for you as a follower of Jesus, it's just coming in repentance. God, forgive me of the excuses I give you. Help me. Please help me to see today that there really is something worth celebrating with the body of Christ. That we get to celebrate the work that you are doing among us as we live on your mission. And maybe today it's just a recommitment to the celebration of Christ. Living for him and his kingdom, not giving excuses, but putting your yes on the table. Whatever you want from me, Jesus, that's what I want. I don't know how the Spirit of God is leading you to respond this morning, but I know that he is. So as we have a time of invitation, you come as the Spirit of God leads you. Father, thank you for this morning, for time in your word, for your goodness to us. Thank you that in Christ, there is so much to celebrate. We've gone from death to life. We were on our way to eternity apart from you, but you changed our direction. And Father, to celebrate your work among your people, I think about the places I got to be yesterday. What a joy to be able to celebrate so many different things yesterday with the people of God. And Father, we get to experience stuff like that every day as we see you at work in the lives of others. And so Father, as your children, help us to not miss out on the celebration. And Father, there might be a person here in this room this morning who's never joined the celebration, who's never turned from their sins, repented, and given their life to you. I pray that person will come now trusting you as Lord. So have your way now in this moment, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You rise to your feet as we time an invitation together. You come now as the Spirit of God leads you.